Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. Today on the podcast, we're interviewing one of my favorite friends from way back, Mike Belkowski from BioLite, and he's the founder of BioLite. They develops amazing red light therapy treatment panels, which I myself have loved and used. And today we're going to learn about methylene blue, mitochondrial health, and all the things you need to be doing, you biohackers out there. This one's for you. All right, Mike, say hello to the audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Kay, thanks for having me. Hello to everyone. If you haven't listened to me before, I think Kay and I have had discussions, I don't know, two or three times, maybe four times at this point over the years. So it's always exciting when we get together and have a little conversation. But yeah, so my claim to fame the last 5 years or so has been red light therapy, and for good reason. You know, you mentioned mitochondrial health. And so the more I read, the more I learn, the more I listen to other experts in the area of longevity, anti-aging, biohacking, what have you, the more I revere the mitochondria for all aspects of health and wellness, and of course, longevity or increasing your health span, however you want to put it. And so red light therapy is one of the lowest hanging fruits as far as improving your mitochondrial health. Of course, I don't want to throw foundational pieces under the bus, like getting outside and grounding, getting outside, getting full sun exposure. Of course, eating the right foods, reducing stress as much as possible, getting good sleep. All of that stuff is a must do. But the caveat is, in this modern world we live in, compared to 100, 150 years ago, we're fighting an uphill battle with countless environmental stressors. Speaking of food, I mean, we don't have to look any further than how the food is being sprayed with toxins, or even the soil just isn't as rich as it used to be. So we're not getting the same nutrients we used to. We live inside 99.9% of our lives. We're indoors, out of the full spectrum sunlight. Very few of us probably touch the grass every day, or the trees, or what have you. And it's these habits that we've lost over the decades or the century plus that has led to this rise in whatever condition you want to point at. It could be diabetes, it can be obesity, cardiovascular disease, metabolic disease, even eye health. We're looking at screens far too long, and so we're having an epidemic with myopia and age-related macular degeneration. All of that to say, again, the modern stresses, again, we can look at 5G, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. We're bombarded from every direction that we weren't, again, 100, 150 years ago. So our mitochondria, in essence, are environmental sensors. And so when our bodies or our biology is surrounded by negative stressors, they're going to react. And when they react, they do so by becoming dysfunctional, which means producing less energy. And at the core of cellular health, or at the core of foundational health, we want our cells to be producing as much energy as possible, because that's analogous with vitality. And so the mitochondria, for those that don't know, are inside of our cells. There can be tens, there can be hundreds, there can be thousands, there can be tens or even hundreds of thousands of mitochondria per cell, depending on the tissue or the organ that it's in. So for example, the brain is the most energy hungry organ in our body. It takes up about 3% of our body weight, but it consumes 20% of our energy. And so the brain is the most mitochondrial dense tissue in our body. That's a double-edged sword, because it's a powerful organ, right? But when things start to go downhill, when we're bombarded with environmental stressors, that's one of the first things to go, so to speak, is our brain. And so that's why we see stress and anxiety, major depressive disorder, neurodegeneration, so Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, that's on the rise. And again, it comes down to mitochondrial health. I'm trying to keep this as short as possible, okay? So break me off if you need to. But to bring this full circle, things like red light therapy, things like methylene blue, things like carbon 60 or C60, if we get to that, all of these things weren't necessary at the beginning of the 20th century. But in this modern world we live in, we do need these tools to combat that, so that we can optimize our health and that we can have some tools or some arrows in our quiver to combat these environmental stressors. So I've coined a term that I've been promoting the last couple of months called the mitochondrial triad. And it's the three things that I think, based on my research, are the lowest hanging fruit outside of those foundational pieces I mentioned, which is sunlight, touching grass, good food, good sleep, that kind of stuff. But the three things people can add on to that for optimizing mitochondrial health specifically is the red light therapy, methylene blue, and C60.
Amazing. Okay, so methylene blue. So red light therapy, many of us have heard about. It's that frequency of light that does activate the mitochondria and give you more ATP generation. It's great for skin health, hair health, lots of things.
And there's one more thing, Kay, that I've been learning that the mitochondria do that we don't give enough credit for. Of course, like you said, it produces ATP, but it also produces biological water, or that fourth phase water, or EZ water.
Yeah.
So to your point with skin health, skin needs to be hydrated internally, yeah, not just externally, but internally. And it's the mitochondria where, again, if they become dysfunctional because of different environmental stressors or what have you, again, they're not producing energy, that ATP, but it's also not producing that EZ water biologically that we need for so many functions, including skin health. So the mitochondria continues to become more and more important the more we learn about it, not just for energy production, but now for producing that biological water.
I feel like people can do their whole PhD thesis on the mitochondria. But yesterday, 100%. I spoke to a really cool guy who is developing structured water, and we had a great talk about how that boosts mitochondrial efficiencies and changes health outcomes.
Who was that?
It's analemma water. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a
no.
crystalline form of structured water. And I'll have to send you a link to it. Everybody should look it up. We're going to learn about it.
I'm actually going to a water summit here in a week with Tracy Dews, so she's bringing together like the top researchers from across the globe as it relates to water research. She has people coming from Europe, Japan, New Zealand, of course, people like Dr. Gerald Pollack and Robert Slovak will be there. So it's going to be this congregation of the top minds in the field of water and health. And so it's going to be a pretty interesting summit.
That's so cool. I would love to come to that someday. So tell us a little bit more about methylene blue and how that works. It's interesting. It's a really dark dye compound. We use it in medicine. Off-label, we use it to treat ear infections because it kills fungal infections in the ear very nicely, but it stains everything purple. It turns your whole face purple for a week. But I never thought of ingesting it or drinking it. So what does methylene blue do, and how should we use it?
It's really the most peculiar thing I've come across to this day, Kay, because it's a synthetic substance. And when people hear that, just like I did, let alone an aquarium cleaner, people don't want to put synthetic things in our body. That's like analogous with drugs or, I don't know, just fake food or whatever, you know, synthetic. That doesn't sound good. It's not normal.
Yeah.
But not ironically, but I guess to juxtapose that, the research that's coming out and just the use cases that we're finding with methylene blue, not only is it effective, but it's extremely, extremely safe. So to backpedal, to give it a little bit of a history, methylene blue has been around since the late 1800s. So it's been around for almost 150 years. And it was initially invented or designed as a dye. Methylene blue is stains, it's a dye. So to for jeans, for leathers, for things like that. Quickly, it became useful in microscopy. And that's where they realized, as they were using it for staining, that these particular organelles were really absorbing this blue. Well, that's the mitochondria. So they found out that the mitochondria were really just like drinking up this methylene blue. Quickly, I don't know the exact history or anecdote behind this, but it quickly became a powerful anti-malarial, where it could reverse or eradicate malaria in like 24, 48 hours, which is simply amazing. So there's something to it for our biology. And then over time, it became notorious as an antiviral. It was actually the first drug that we had in America was methylene blue. Methylene blue is the parent compound for ivermectin and hydrochloroquine. So in the height, or even at the very beginning of the COVID pandemic in 2020, there is research by Chinese scientists showing the powerful antiviral effects of methylene blue on COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing antiviral. So if you ever start to feel like you're getting a little sick, taking methylene blue can wipe it out. And I can attest to that because I've done that 3 times in the past 6 months or so where I felt like I was about to get sick. So I really upped my dosage of methylene blue and it just completely eradicated. I never got sick. Or the one time I got sick, I got hit by a hard virus. I went from 100% to 0% in a couple of hours. Then I really quadrupled or quintupled my normal methylene blue dosage. And instead of this virus hanging around for a week or two, it was 100% gone, or at least I felt 100% in about 48 hours. So anyway, methylene blue, it's one of the few things that can get into the mitochondria. It can also pass the blood-brain barrier. And it just so happens that, you know, speaking of brain health, as we were talking about earlier, most of the methylene blue you consume ends up in your brain, which maybe sounds scary because you'll end up with a blue brain. But again, with the brain being the most mitochondrial dense and having the most exposure or the most potential for mitochondrial dysfunction because of its density, it's a powerful, again, if you're a biohacker, I think there's a lot of people just looking for that next cognitive boost or the next thing they can optimize their cognition or what have you. And methylene blue does that. But if you're dealing with stuff like anxiety, stress, depression, it's extremely powerful. Hmm. If you're older and you're just trying to combat or mitigate or even prevent symptoms of dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, any type of neurodegeneration, methylene blue is exceptionally powerful. I think it's 100 times concentration in your central nervous system compared to everywhere else when you ingest it. But the other thing, Kay, that's amazing about methylene blue is that it knows where to go, meaning it'll go help the most dysfunctional mitochondria first in your body and then go wherever else it needs to. So if you have cancerous or precancerous cells, which are metabolically destroyed, the methylene blue is going to go there and try to help first.
Hmm.
And most of it will eventually end up in your brain as well. So it's one of those things. And I recently did a podcast episode with Dr. Yoshiram. I don't know if you know of him. He's in California as well. He's an osteopathic family physician, but he's been doing IV methylene blue for years and years now on his patients. And one of the stories he told me is, or he does this frequently with patients that have UTIs, is he'll do the methylene blue IV, and then he'll do red light therapy over the bladder, and the UTI will just disappear. So that, again, that kind of speaks to the photodynamic properties of methylene blue, combining it with red light therapy. But just to kind of wrap up this conversation, you can ask me something if you would like.
Yeah.
Methylene blue is a major antioxidant because it's an electron donor. And anything that can donate electrons, we want to consume as human beings. Because, again, that's going to help produce ATP and biological water in the mitochondria, keep our mitochondrial functional. So it's a major antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antiviral, probably the best antiviral out there. To your point, antibacterial, antifungal, it can help reduce pain. It can help fight cancer. There's plenty of research to show that. So again, it's one of those things where it kind of messes with our mind because it's a synthetic, yet it can do all of these things. But it's been proven time and time again, it's extremely, extremely safe because the dosages that we're taking, whether you're doing it for anti-aging or for different things, it's an extremely, extremely low dose. The toxicity, as long as you're taking pharmaceutical grade, because there's different qualities of methylene blue, of course. We were just talking about aquarium cleaner, but you want USP pharmaceutical grade. And as long as you're doing that or you're taking that pharmaceutical grade, you don't have to worry about toxicity. You don't have to worry about the potential negative ramifications of this synthetic substance.
But
and also
we should also definitely preface that with everyone should, of course, consult their physician. Number one. Number two,
1,000%.
Not an FDA approved product. And number three, if you look up methylene blue, actually at a certain dose, it is toxic, carcinogenic, and poisonous. And so the concentration and the quality of what you're taking really, really matters. And also people with renal problems and certain neurologic problems should absolutely not take it. If you have kidney, you know, it can affect certain organs. So it's one of those things that you have to do a ton of research, consult with your physician, make sure you're using the highest quality ingredients, and then also make sure, you know, you understand you're taking a little risk because there have not been clinical trials or studies with this product. Am I right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Kay, because so when you consume methylene blue, your body has to break it down. Your kidney or your liver has to reduce it into what's called leucomethylene blue. And so that's another product that I've brought to the market is instead of using methylene blue, using leucomethylene blue. And so it actually instantaneously is bioavailable because your body doesn't have to process it. And to your point, if someone has kidney issues or liver issues, they're compromised or what have you, leucomethylene blue would be the choice because then again, your body's not having to process it. You ingest it and it goes straight into your system. And so you kind of bypass those issues.
Yeah.
So just a thought.
Yeah. So important, but it's so interesting how, so you say that it's electron donor.
Big time. I mean, that's what any antioxidant is you're combating oxidation with electrons, which would make it an antioxidant.
Now the concentration that you're taking, is this going to like stain your teeth blue and your tongue blue and everything? And how much are you taking? How often are you taking it?
So the solution is 1%, which is standard. And that's what is, to your point, like that's the concentration you want to take. You certainly wouldn't want to be taking anything that's above the 1% because that's what we know is safe. The traditional, or I should say the colloquial dosage just for optimized mitochondrial health, let's say, is anywhere from 10 to 30 milligrams twice a day. So once in the morning, once in the evening-ish. And if you're like counting drops, it's 2 drops per milligram. So if I'm doing 20 milligrams in the morning, that's 40 drops from the tincture, from the pipette. But yes, so methylene blue is going to stain. It depends on how you take it. Some people just take it straight into their mouth, which that's going to stain the most unless you get it straight into your throat. People can also mix it in water, coffee, orange juice, or dilute it in water, which is what I do. I dilute it in about 3 to 4 ounces of water and then drink it through a straw really fast. And so by using a straw, it gets past my teeth. And by drinking it relatively quickly, it just goes down fast and it's diluted in water. So my teeth and my tongue are minimally stained. And that's with methylene blue. With leucomethylene blue, it's much less intense staining because leuco has most of that pigment removed when it's reduced from methylene blue to leucomethylene blue. So that stains even less.
What kind of studies are out there? Have you read some of the medical literature with using methylene blue, or are there any studies?
So of course there's not as many, let's say, compared to photobiomodulation, which is, gosh, I get studies every single day from PubMed in my email. Methylene blue. Yeah, there's stuff. I actually just did an episode that got released today on my podcast, The Red Light Report, and looked at methylene blue for treating TBIs.
Traumatic brain injuries. Yeah,
traumatic brain injuries, ischemia in the brain, and neurodegeneration. So like Alzheimer's disease, and how methylene blue can help with all three of those, which I found in this article came out, I think on February 29th on Leap Day of all days. So very new, but I found that very fascinating because I see those three conditions as very different types of pathologies, TBI being acute trauma, ischemia. I think you can argue that's kind of a buildup of things over time that leads to that ischemic or a stroke that happens. And then Alzheimer's disease, you could argue, is like decades and decades of buildup that leads eventually to that neurodegeneration. And so these three different types of conditions, one that's very acute, one that's very chronic, we can say, and methylene blue has a role to play in all three of those. There's actually quite a few articles or studies on methylene blue for skin health, okay? And especially how it combats UV radiation on the skin.
Amazing.
So yeah, I mean, there's actually quite a few articles on methylene blue and anti-aging for the skin.
I would love to read some. If you have them, send them my way.
Yeah.
So right now you have a product, a methylene blue product that you've developed. And are you mixing that then with structured water or easy
Correct.
water? You are.
Correct.
So it's kind of synergistic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So everything I do, whether it's red light therapy or supplements, we have several supplements now. It's top quality, top shelf ingredients in the process of making it. And so we use the USP pharmaceutical grade methylene blue, structured biophotonic water. And then what makes ours different is I wanted to add ingredients that would further optimize mitochondrial function and then further optimize the photodynamic properties of methylene blue. So we added NMN, colloidal gold, colloidal silver, and fulvic acid. And we added the fulvic acid because anything you consume with fulvic acid is better absorbed into your body and into your cells. So that's what makes our methylene blue product unique and different. It's called BioBlue. And like I mentioned, we also have a leucomethylene blue version called BioBlue Leuco. And then we'll be coming out, I'm not sure when this podcast will air, but at the time we're recording this, in about 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be releasing a third version, which will be a 50-50 blend of methylene blue, leucomethylene blue, which theoretically would give you the best of both worlds in that the leucomethylene blue, you'll get that instantaneous hit, whether that's cognitive antioxidant hit in your body, and then you'll get that delay or that sustained methylene blue, because again, that takes, from the research I've read, about 90 minutes to 2 hours for that peak plasma concentration level of methylene blue in your system. So again, with the 50-50 blend, you get the instant hit of the leucomethylene blue and kind of that delayed response as that methylene blue gets reduced and broken down in your body.
Interesting. What kind of physiologic changes have you noticed when you're taking it compared to you prior to taking it?
So right away, the first time I started using methylene blue was what I would describe like as an increased vibration in my brain. I could almost feel it in my brain. So increased cognition. And I'll say a caveat to what people will quote unquote feel with, well, I guess this could be any supplements or even red light therapy. People will feel this initial surge of increased vibration or increased energy, and then they'll kind of plateau or that'll fall away. And I think people misconstrue that as like, it's not working anymore or doing anything. But we know it's working. It's just like when you're sick and you're recovering, you're going to notice that biggest difference in improvement when you start doing something right away. And we got to remember things like red light therapy, methylene blue, C60, they work on the mitochondrial level. So the healthier you are, the less you'll notice. But again, when I first started taking it, definite boost in cognition. And something I noticed that I didn't necessarily expect was an improvement in my exercise. So with my trail running, with my lifting routine, my endurance and my strength were unquestionably improved, and I had changed nothing else other than the methylene blue.
So cool. That's neat. Any measures like blood tests or, I don't know, performance measures that have changed in terms of your VO2 or your, I don't know, anything else that you can think of, your body composition?
So I started taking methylene blue about a year ago, maybe 10 months ago. I don't remember specifically how my HRV changed. I mean, I'm doing so much, Kay, between, you know, the red light therapy and grounding and all these other different types of hacks, grounding for my bed, grounding outside, PEMF mat. So I'm doing a lot for my body.
Wait, what do you do with grounding in your bed? I've got to hear this.
So like, for example, as we're recording, I have my feet on a grounding mat.
Yeah.
So theoretically, I'm getting some of the benefits of grounding without touching the earth while I'm inside. And the one reason I'm a huge proponent of that is because when you're grounding, it's an anti-EMF protector.
Yeah.
So when you're touching the earth or when you're grounding, you're combating, you know, as I'm sitting in front of my computer with all my gadgets here, I'm combating some of this EMF by grounding. And so similar to the mat I'm touching right now with my feet, you can buy products that you put on your mattress. You can get either a mattress cover, you can even get sheets, I believe, pillowcase covers. So again, as you're touching that while you're sleeping, you're getting some of the benefits of grounding. But again, I'm the biggest fan of grounding for its anti-EMF protection, especially while you're sleeping. So again, back to methylene blue, I didn't do any blood tests or anything like that. I think what Dr. Yoshi Ram and I, we've been in conversation about checking out, he wants to test leucomethylene blue with IV because that's something he's never done or experienced with. So we want to do some blood tests of before and after with leucomethylene blue to see if there's truly something significantly objectively better about leukomethylene blue versus methylene blue. And the one thing I will add about leukomethylene blue is since it's reduced, that means it has more electrons. So its antioxidant capacity is even higher than methylene blue for what that's worth.
Would you prefer to take that instead then?
So since leukomethylene blue loses that blue, that intense dark blue pigment, when it gets reduced, it loses that color. If you look at the powder, methylene blue is a very dark, 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 foresty green. Whereas leukomethylene blue is like a bright white limish green. It's a very stark contrast between the two. But all of that to say is you lose a lot of the photodynamic properties of leukomethylene blue. So if you're looking to use one of these things, or if you're looking to use methylene blue for its synergistic properties with red light therapy, then you're going to want to use methylene blue. At the end of the day, they do the same thing, right? Because the methylene blue gets broken down into leukomethylene blue in your body. The leuko, again, it's a quicker hit. It's less taxing on your body to a certain degree, because again, with the kidneys and the liver. So if you're not worried about combining it with red light therapy, you could argue leukomethylene blue is an enhanced version, because again, you're getting more electrons to donate to your body. So that's certainly a benefit. But again, like the caveat, which people will find out if they go to check out the products, is leukomethylene blue is much more expensive because it's twice as expensive to produce leukomethylene blue versus methylene blue. So the sourcing and just being able to source leukomethylene blue is twice as expensive as methylene blue.
I got
so
it.
It's twice as expensive, more or less.
And then you're using that in combination with red light therapy. So are you red light therapying like twice a day as well, or once a day?
So the way I use red light therapy, because I'm not necessarily trying to quote unquote treat or cure anything, I'm just using it as a prophylactic measure, anti-aging tactic. I use red light therapy kind of in a seasonal way. I'll do it way more in the dark, gloomy, late fall to early spring months here in Montana where I barely see any sun. Whereas in the summertime, I use red light therapy really not that often unless I have a little injury or like a trying to heal a wound or something. Of course, I always have this device called the Glow in front of my computer monitor, which is a very, very low level of light. I can literally look straight into these LEDs. They're so soft and easy on the eyes. But I use that to combat the blue light of my screen. So it helps protect my eyes from the screen. Of course, I can wear, you know, my blue light blocking glasses as well. But it's also very good for the skin because the skin requires such a low dosage of red light therapy. People are blasting their bodies with these high power panels. And if you're trying to treat the skin, you're going to quickly over-treat, which doesn't lead to negative consequences per se. It's just you're not going to get the benefits and the results you're looking for. So this Glow device is perfect for anyone working in front of a computer, for both the eyes and the skin, I think. So that's something I do use every day, Kate. But in general, if I'm using, like, let's say my full body device, the Cocoon, which is essentially a sleeping bag, I'll use that 2 times, maybe 3 times a week, most weeks. But that's kind of the extent of my red light therapy. And again, I'll try to time that with my methylene blue intake, take my methylene blue about 60 to 90 minutes prior to that session.
Very synergistic effect that way. And then tell us about the C60. What is carbon 60? Because I haven't really read anything about that.
Yeah, so carbon 60 is much newer to the scene. It was first discovered in, I believe, the late 1980s. There was a Nobel Prize given for it in I think, 95 or 96. So much newer compared to methylene blue. And it was initially used in a lot of industrial products because its shape, which is a soccer ball shape, it has 60 bonds, carbon bonds. It's literally carbon. It has a very unique shape and structure, which lent itself to improving the structure integrity of different industrial products. And so with humans constantly working with this new product, C60, with tires and photocells, they wanted to make sure that the humans weren't in danger of, you know, getting toxic levels of this substance we didn't really know much about in C60. So in 2012, I believe, they did a study with rats. The study was to test toxicity levels to make sure it was safe for humans to be around. And so they had a couple of groups. One was the control group. The rats just consumed water. The other group consumed C60 combined with olive oil because C60 is lipophilic. You want to combine it with a fat. Their living environments were the exact same. And The control group died at its normal age, about 30 to 36 months, and their body was riddled with tumors, which is normal for the rats. The group that was consuming C60 plus olive oil, exact same living conditions, lived 90% longer, so almost twice as long, and when they did die, their body had no tumors.
Wow.
That's where C60 really started to catch the attention of potential for human consumption. It's like, holy cow, these rats lived basically twice as long and didn't have any tumors. So again, that's where it really took off. So it's been just over a decade that C60 has been in the purview of human longevity and anti-aging. But again, as far as safety and efficacy, it's extremely safe for the human, as that toxicity test showed. And again, it's carbon at the end of the day, and we're mostly carbon as well. Mm-hmm. So what is C60? Like, how does it help us so well? It is possibly one of the most powerful antioxidants you can consume. It's about 125 to 175 times more powerful than vitamin C. So this is how I like combining it, and this is why I love combining it with like methylene blue and red light therapy. Methylene blue works in its own way inside of the mitochondria, helping make the electron transport chain more efficient, making energy production more efficient. But a byproduct of energy metabolism is free radicals, oxidative stress. And again, back to this modern world, we're being bombarded from every direction. So that's going to set the stage for inflammation. And when you have free radicals in the presence of inflammation, you're going to have a lot of oxidative stress, which is really one of the number one reasons we age. So again, back to C60, it's a mop for free radicals. It's a mop for oxidative stress. And so it's removing all of that from the area, which again, when you combine that with increased energy production, reduced oxidative stress with methylene blue, C60, and red light therapy, now you're setting the stage for your cells and your mitochondria and your tissues to be in an environment where they can thrive and not trying to survive in amongst all of this inflammation and oxidative stress.
How is it discovered? It's like not really a natural compound, not found in foods.
It's actually found in outer space.
Right? Like from the creation of the earth when meteors striking and hitting the earth. And
well, so this is how C60 is made. They take graphite rods and they have to put it through extremely high heat. So you end up with this soot. And it's a very, very small percentage of that soot that is C60. So that's how it's made. And
who the thought of like ingesting that? And then is it?
Well, again, it all came from that study.
Interesting.
So then you have the biohackers of the world, or those who just like to test obscure or whatever the newest, coolest thing is. And so they're going to test it out, and they started seeing cool results. Their hair starts growing faster. Their sleep is better. Their energy is better. The recovery from exercise is better. Their vision improves. Their joint pain goes away. So stuff like that. So you start getting enough of these anecdotes, let's say in the 2013, 14, 15s, you get enough of those type of anecdotes where people are seeing these results without any negative consequences. And that's where it starts to really take off as far as something that's considered for human consumption, for the masses.
And then there is some genotoxic effect if you take too much, I guess, with anything. And I don't think exact human studies have ever been done. So just to warn people that super high doses can possibly cause breaks in your DNA strands and oxidative damage, depending on the high concentration. So some toxicity can exist, obviously. People should be careful and not experiment too much on themselves.
You would have to take inordinate amounts of C60 for that to happen with the concentrations that are given in these products.
It's very, very low, low concentration.
Just like the methylene blue, it's low concentration, relatively speaking. And to your point, Kay, this is an interesting point, I should say. You want to have a product that combines C60 with oil, I should say. And depending on the oil, there's different concentrations. Olive oil, you can have the highest concentration. And then if you mix it in MCT oil, it's a little lower. If you mix it in avocado oil, it's even lower. So the oil does matter for concentration level. But if you mix C60 with water, then it actually becomes toxic to humans. I think that's interesting, I guess, that it can be so beneficial when mixed with oil, but when mixed with water, it's actually toxic.
Like extra virgin olive oil is supposed to be the best, right?
Correct.
So that's very cool. So are you taking that as well?
Yes.
And how do you feel with
dog?
Okay. And just in your diet, like adding it as an olive oil drizzle on your salad or something?
So yeah, you can consume it any way you want. I do a first thing in the morning, just a milliliter in my mouth. But if I'm eating a food, let's say some sourdough toast or some salad, then you can certainly drizzle it on that as well, because it essentially just tastes like olive oil.
Interesting. And again, any like effects that you felt on yourself? It's hard to probably distinguish because you're doing so many amazing things, but.
Right. That's the thing. I noticed right away with the methylene blue, because in the brain and the cognition, because again, that's where most of it concentrates. I don't know if we know necessarily where C60 has an affinity for. I think it's much more systemic evenly compared to methylene blue, which concentrates mostly in the central nervous system. So I can't like say objectively I noticed anything. I just started taking the C60 several months ago, so it's relatively new. But to your point, I've been doing red light therapy consistently. I get out and I ground consistently. I get sun exposure as consistently as I can. The methylene blue consistently. So like my mitochondria, I feel, are pretty solid. I just think this is another thing for me. It's a prophylactic preventive measure for optimizing my health and just helping with my own health span.
What else are you doing? You're so interesting. You're like on the cutting edge of all this. You're a walking, talking antioxidant. What is your every day? Take us from the morning. Are you an early riser? Do you get that early morning sunrise?
So our bedroom faces the east. So I have the curtains open because I want to wake up with the light. That means I wake up late in the winter, but I wake up quite early in the summer because the sun's coming up like at 5 in the morning. So I wake up with the sun more or less. And then I try to get outside before the sun comes above the horizon. Ground on the grass, watch the sunrise, anywhere from 5 to 15, 20 minutes, depending on how much time I have and how beautiful the sunrise is. So that's the first thing I do. Something I've instituted very recently because of my interview with Sarah Kleiner, and she's one of my most trusted sources for like quantum health and circadian biology. It's Sarah Kleiner and Carrie Bennett. People should check them out.
Yeah.
Carrie's actually going to be at the Hydrate Summit with Tracy Dews as well. But regardless, so the thing I've instituted before, I should say, I used to, after my watching the sunrise and grounding, the first thing I would do is drink coffee, do a lot of reading, and I wouldn't eat until the early to mid-afternoon. But after talking with Sarah, she impressed upon me with her circadian biology and quantum health information that was a recipe for not great metabolism or for circadian health. Like, you want to set your morning with a big, it doesn't have to be big, but like a protein-rich breakfast. And then if you have to have coffee, have it after that. Because if the first thing you consume right when you wake up is coffee, you're going to jack up your cortisol levels. You're going to mess with your leptin. And that's a recipe for adding weight and for just not having as much energy as you should throughout the day. So the last month and a half, after I come in from my morning sunrise, I'll have a protein-rich breakfast, duck eggs or just regular eggs, some type of an omelet or something. And then most of the days of the week, I'll do a quick 15 to 20 minute yoga session where I've created a session that's specific to my body and areas that I need to stretch and keep pliable. Because I truly think that's an undervalued aspect of health, is flexibility, i.e. our collagen pliability, because our collagen is essentially a highway for all of this, all of our electrons and electricity to flow in our body, information to flow in our body. So if we're restricted or we're bound up in our fascia, that will literally show up in decreased energy or even pathology and disease down the road. If there's energy that's not flowing, just like in acupuncture or in traditional Chinese medicine, they're looking for energy flow. So I've really been a huge advocate, at least for myself, for doing, well, for everyone, for doing yoga on a consistent basis. So I do that. And then I kind of go to work, and I work in my office, like right here I am. And I'll try to be fervent about getting outside, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, just to get some sun exposure consistently throughout my day. As I'm in my office, go exercise at some point, whether that's lifting weights or going on a trail run or even just walking my dog. Consistent about using blue light blocking glasses, both during the day. So like these yellow ones during the day, and then I have orange ones for when the sun goes down. So I'm very adamant about my light environment from that standpoint,
Only indoors, right? When you're outdoors, you don't wear those.
Correct. Exactly. It's just to combat the blue lit technology from iPad, computer screen, cell phone, TV, what have you, especially at night. And I think that's another thing. If people aren't doing, it should be an extremely high on the priority list, is blocking blue light at night, because that will also wreck your circadian rhythm. Because as the sun goes down, that's when your melatonin levels should be going up endogenously, not with supplements. And if you're exposing your eyes to blue light, you're blocking that signal. You're actually reversing that signal. Instead of your melatonin going up, it's going down and your cortisol levels are going up, which completely wrecks your sleep hygiene and the quality of your sleep. So if that's one thing people aren't doing, I'd say that's what you should be doing, is investing in some blue light blocking glasses. Supplement wise, I've been on a pendulum the last 5 to 10 years. I go back and forth between being obsessed with supplements and taking anything I can learn about to taking as few as possible. And right now I'm on that part of the spectrum. I'm trying to take as little as possible and rely on these other sources such as sunlight and grounding and the nutrients of my food, and allowing those to do their jobs and being less reliant on supplements. I don't know if you have any thoughts, Kay, but like, I got to think all of those capsules that you're ingesting, those can't be good for you, right? Like when you're ingesting potentially dozens of those every single day. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, I'm with you. I go through phases where I take 10 different things and then I'll take nothing. Right now, I'm very minimalistic. I'm just doing NMN. And interestingly, I started taking oral minoxidil for hair thinning. And the amount of like microvasculature that has grown and microcirculation, like everything's changed, I feel like.
Wow. So what was that second one?
Minoxidil, oral minoxidil, which is like Rogaine, which you can apply topically, but you can take the oral version, which is a blood pressure pill. And it has the effect of vasodilating and improving microcirculation everywhere in the body. So it's improved my skin, my eyebrows, my lashes. I have like,
wow,
an inch of extra hair growth and like fast in 6 or 8 weeks. So I'm shocked about, you know, how important that microcirculation is. And it made me think like, wow, that means my brain and kidneys were not getting enough microcirculation. So I think that's a cool thing. And then I think I'm pretty low. I think women need to take calcium and iron. Like we're pretty low on those. So that's just my focus right now. I try to keep it minimal.
Yeah. I think we're on the same wavelength there.
Yeah,
less is more.
It becomes overwhelming. But when I hear things like methylene blue and C60, now I want to try all that too. Structured water. I'm going to start drinking that. Yes. But like you said, the easy things you can do. And, you know, truly it's a high protein diet, lots of fruits and vegetables, the sunlight. Like we need to go back to Little House on the Prairie days. We're all like
100%. They were combating different issues back then. But yeah, there's something to be said with the way they lived.
Yeah. And I also am hugely focused on probiotics and like gut health, that too.
Gut health, big time.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we might have talked about this on a prior podcast, but it's worth highlighting, whether it's treating stress, anxiety, or even the neurodegeneration of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, doing red light therapy just on the gut, not even specifically on the frontal lobe of your brain or your brain in general. You see the benefits because of the gut-brain axis. So that's one area. If like people are wondering, like, you know, how can I best use my red light therapy device, whether it's a handheld or a tabletop or even full body? It's like the places I would be hitting on essentially a weekly or bi-weekly basis would be the oral cavity, the gut, the brain.
Yeah, definitely.
Those are like must-dos.
I think that's exactly right. And I think lots of fiber in the diet is super important as well.
Oh, 1000%. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm starting to, like, in aesthetics, bioregenerative therapy, you're talking about collagen being, you know, the highway and the important conductor. It basically holds us together. Like if you look at the human body being 99% water and 1% solid materials, like the scaffolding that's holding us together is collagen, type 1, type 3 collagen, and elastin, which is the stretch of the skin. And like you said, stretchy flexibility. So I'm trying to focus my practice more on collagen bioregenerative therapy, turning on the body's ability to auto-regenerate and recreate, rebirth new collagen and new elastin. Right. So that's pretty cool because you're born with all the elastin you're ever going to have. And then like a rubber band getting weaker and weaker, it just slowly degrades. And then that's when things break and snap and you don't bounce anymore. When we fall, we really break things. So I think that is super cool too. I mean, I do take collagen peptides every day too. So I'm taking that and I'm working on some therapies for injectable and topical collagen peptides. And then there's stem cells.
stem cells.
Yes.
Gosh, I mean, I think that's such a burgeoning area, and I think it'll only continue to be more so in the future. Red light therapy can help by itself. It can help stimulate stem cell migration, production, that type of a thing. But I know a lot of stem cell centers, even today, they're combining their stem cell treatment with red light therapy because post-treatment, I should say, because again, it helps with the vitality, the mobility of the stem cell treatment itself. Mm-hmm. That's another pretty interesting 1-2 punch.
It is super cool. I mean, red light sounds so magical. I think people definitely should check out your site. I am a huge believer of your red lights in particular. So everyone go check out BioLite. And he's not paying me to say that, but I've definitely interviewed and looked at all the different red lights on the market. So congratulations on coming out with a great product. Where can people find you, Mike, to further listen to your thoughts and keep up with what's going on in biohacking?
Yeah, I got a lot of exciting stuff coming out this year, Kay. People can check me out on LinkedIn, just my name, Mike Belkowski, or also on Instagram, Dr. Mike Belkowski. For more things centric around BioLite, of course, check out BioLite at BioLite.shop, which is the handle on Instagram and the website, not .com, it's .shop. So you can check us out there to stay up to date with things we're doing with BioLite. Or on my personal page, I'll be putting out a lot more content that's centered around this triad of information and research around red light therapy, methylene blue, and carbon 60.
That's amazing. That was so informative. I've got like 1,000 more questions to ask you, but
I imagine so.
I hope you guys learned so much. Stay tuned to learn more about biohacking your body, your beauty, your health, and longevity. Love to teach you guys as I'm learning this. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. We're going to send Mike some of our antioxidant amazing products for skin, the topical vitamin C, the hyaluronic, my deep blue hydration serum, which will complement your methylene blue. It's got copper tripeptide in it. And some stem cell growth factor. So I can't wait to send you all of that.
Hey, I got to say that the vitamin C serum is like some of my favorite stuff in the world.
Isn't it good? It's so good.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Well, there's some coming your way. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.